This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith, and my guest in the studio is Samantha Corey, who is the founder of a swimwear and resort wear brand called Amayo. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Charles. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So your swimwear line Amayo, it's kind of pitched as après swim, which is the French for after swim.
Correct.
So you're covering swimwear, you're making bathing suits, and then you're making things to wear after you get out of the pool or around the pool kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. But you're also very sustainability focused and you're made in Los Angeles. So let's talk. Tell me a little bit about the brand and where it came from.
Yeah. So we are very much coining the après swim category. All of our pieces are made and designed to be worn not only as swim, but as ready to wear. So all of our one pieces you can easily wear as bodysuits and our tops as crop tops or our swim cardigans as tops with high-waisted pants, in addition to all of our resort wear pieces transitioning straight back to the swim, and you can have a full couture outfit all in Amayo.
It's so, couture?
It's high-end luxury.
Okay.
And we try to be as couture as possible, obviously not being in Paris and coming from that heritage, but very much in our technique in the construction of our pieces. We take a lot of inspiration from couture and do the best that we can.
Okay. So you actually have a background where you're very cosmopolitan. You've been around. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you came to do fashion? I know you also have a fine arts and literature background as well.
Yes, that's correct. So I got my degree in studio fine arts and French comparative literature. I made the transition into fashion design right after university and kind of fell in love with the swim category because it felt like the perfect combination of these two sides of myself. One that's been in the water as much as possible since I was a child. And then the other, the more cosmopolitan side of growing up between Boston and Paris and Beirut. So having something that was more fashion forward and elegant within the swim category really resonated with me. And then creating, you know, a multi-functioning multi-purpose product for the cosmopolitan modern woman was very exciting for us.
Would you say from your fine arts background, how much does that inform what you do as a designer? Do you feel like you pull more from your fashion school skills or your fine art skills, the things that you learn specifically in those different schools mm-hmm. when you're designing?
I would say from my fine arts, just because in particular, we spent a lot of time studying the female body and the female form.
As one does.
Yes. And so dealing with a stretch fabric, fit is obviously the most critical and important aspect of the product. So, and then the inspiration from more of the haute couture houses of Paris is kind of the fun cherry on top. So I take a lot of inspiration from ready to wear and couture elements and then apply them onto swim.
So most people think of Los Angeles as producing a lot of t-shirts and jeans, not mm-hmm. the fine sewing.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you build an apparatus? Did you find a factory in LA that was already able to do this, or did you kind of start your own operation?
No, it's been very difficult. Our development is startup from scratch. So I found all of our development team, which is a huge component of being able to replicate the more finer sewing. And then we work with several contractors, but we are very hands-on with the contractors to ensure they execute kind of at the level and standard that we're striving for.
Okay. So how are you selling this?
We are selling to wholesalers, or we have wholesale partners as well as directly off of our website.
What kind of stores are you in so far? I mean, you started this in 2016, right? So
we officially launched in May 2017. I did a very soft launch in May 2016.
Okay.
And then we started mainly just with wholesale accounts, and then we launched our e-commerce platform in January 2018. And
okay.
we're currently with Neiman Marcus, Bergdorf Goodman. We've been with Anthropologie, and then several, you know, hotel luxury hotels around the world, like the Four Seasons and Cheval Blanc and St. Barts, and we're with Michelle Farmer and several other small great luxury stores around the world.
I don't think of all those kind of high-end stores as being very tech savvy. Do you get good information about your sales from them and what's selling and what's not working? And
We do. I mean, our retail partners are important to us as much as our direct-to-consumer is as important to us. And really building that relationship with our buyers is important. So we try to make an effort to do that, as well as, you know, making an effort to have that relationship directly with our consumers.
And how do you approach e-commerce? What do you say to people online about the brand? How do you encapsulate it into the little bits that get shared on social media?
Yeah. So our messaging to our customer is very twofold. One is explaining that we are, you know, making that bridge between après-ski, which most people are more familiar with, saying, you know, you have après-ski in the outerwear category. Why don't we have après-swim? Come to Amayo, and this is who we are. And we style all of our pieces very much during our shoots as ready to wear to showcase to the consumer how you can wear our product outside of the beach and ocean and pool. And then the second fold is looping back around to your first question about the sustainability and philanthropic component of our brand, which is very important for us. In today's market, I think you have to have a really strong vision and stance of where you want to be in the global climate today. And for us, it's really important to be a part of that sustainability conversation, especially since, unfortunately, Lycra is a synthetic fabric. So we want to be really on the forefront of the new technology that's coming out around textiles that are better for the environment, better for the world, and as well as promoting the more artisanal craftsmanship and better working conditions.
Where do you see the most promise in terms of material science meeting these sustainability challenges for stretch fabric?
Yeah, I think definitely just in the efforts around creating recyclable Lycra fabrics. We still have not been able to find a fabric that's 100% recyclable and still very luxurious. So we put a lot of emphasis on our base swim fabric in the sustainability component of it. So the mill that we work with is fully solar powered, and their technology for how they recycle and reuse the water waste is extremely efficient and innovative. And so that's all really important. So if we can't use a fully recyclable fabric, we try to make sure that every other component of how that fabric is made is very sustainable and very efficient and creates as little carbon waste as possible. Our Lycra is also Extra Life Lycra certified, so it will last you a lifetime.
Oh, what is that?
Extra Life Lycra certified is pretty much is what it almost sounds like. It's a technique that diminishes the erosion and kind of the wear and tear that Lycra can go through when it's exposed to the elements. And so it's in the finishing, and it's in actually how they create the fabric in ensuring it will last you 50 plus 60 years.
Oh, wow. So is this a new product that you're able to access that wasn't there a couple of years ago?
No, Extra Life Lycra has been a technology that's been around for a couple of years.
Okay.
And so we just make sure that we are a part of that. But there's a lot of really interesting new technology around recycled nano fibers, which I find highly fascinating. Japan is actually a great... they're really on the forefront of these new types of fabrics. And so I'm hoping to incorporate more of those.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the functionality aspect and why you decided to go in this direction of it works in multiple ways?
Absolutely. I think the modern woman today is obviously very multifaceted. We're doing a lot all at the same time. And I think, too, women want to go more minimal in the sense that they want less clutter. So it was really important that if we were going to be creating a product, another product to put out into the world, that it wasn't just for a one purpose, one use component. We really, to be a part of that bigger conversation of sustainability and long term. And, you know, for me, just why I fell in love so much with haute couture and those pieces is they were so and are so special. They're works of art and they get passed down from generation to generation. My great aunt had this beautiful and multiple of Christian Dior dresses, and she passed one down to me before she passed away. And then that will last throughout my lifetime, where I'll be able to pass that down to my kids. And so having that value, intrinsic value in a product and in a piece is so inspiring and very meaningful to me, and is also better for our world and where kind of we're headed.
What's your vision of the woman who wears your clothing?
We very much have two strong customer bases. One is the 25 to 35 year old jet setter who finds us more online and on Instagram, and, you know, loves the fashion forward component, loves our cheekier bottoms that we offer. And she's, you know, a hardworking, cosmopolitan, multicultural woman. The other is the 40 plus year old women who find us most likely via traditional department stores and retailers, and then and become brand loyalists and enthusiasts through those partners.
You can help take American Fashion Podcast to the next level. Support the show by subscribing to our archives. Just go to AmericanFashionPodcast.com and click on Archives to become a direct supporter and help us get to more conferences and events around the country. We haven't gone to Texas yet. We haven't gone to Portland or Seattle. We haven't recorded in Miami or Nashville. If you want to hear more about what's going on in American fashion, this is the way you can directly contribute to making it happen. Right now, it's $6.99 per month, or $49.99 for a whole year of access. That gets you access to our full catalog of episodes going back 6 years. We're also planning to produce some bonus content just for our archive subscribers. So if you have the means and you love the show, please show your support by subscribing to the archives at AmericanFashionPodcast.com. So you're working with two NGO partners. What's that relationship? What are you doing? And who are they and what do they do?
Yes. So we donate a portion of our proceeds to our two partners. One of them is called Drip by Drip. They're a German-based NGO. They're twofold in their initiatives. One is they actually have a textile discovery lab where they work with five mills in working towards creating more recyclable, sustainable fabrics that are very high tech and kind of on the forefront and cutting edge of where things are going. And then they also help implement water filtration systems in third world communities that are more specifically hit and hurt by the manufacturing industry. So they target and focus significantly on Bangladesh. So that's Drip by Drip. And then our second one is the Women's Global Empowerment Fund, primarily based in Sub-Sahara Africa. And they focus on educating and providing support for the local female community, and helping these women become entrepreneurs themselves to support their families, and education through education and opportunity.
Interesting. Why did you pick those two?
So our name directly translates to Mother Water. It's a French African word that my stepmother and I created. My stepmom is Belgian, but she was born and raised in Zimbabwe. And so Amai in Shona means mother. And then Io in Galois, which is an older French dialect, means water. And so that pretty much sums up you know, for a mile on the heartfelt kind of deeper emotional side of the brand is that connection to femininity and womanhood, as well as our connection to water. So the Women's Global Empowerment Fund really kind of encompasses all of that, and women supporting women, and obviously entrepreneurial efforts to provide those opportunities is really important for us to be a part of. And then, you know, the water initiative and doing what we can to help the crisis of not many people having access to clean drinking water and the effects that we're seeing and everything like that.
Okay. Where do you want to go with the brand next? What's your kind of direction with it?
Yeah. So our goal is really to become the premier leading lifestyle brand in destination wear. We believe that we're a part of a much larger market, primarily the luxury travel market. And so we want to be on the forefront of that.
Excellent. All right. The website is amaioswim.com. Have a look. And Samantha, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me, Charles.
Thank you for listening to American Fashion Podcast. On our website, AmericanFashionPodcast.com, you can find our Be a Guest form, as well as a sign-up page for invitations to our live shows, and a new feature, the Archives, with roughly 250 episodes published. The old shows don't fit in our feed anymore, so we've made them available for a nominal fee. Please continue the conversation online. On Twitter, we are at AFPOD, and on Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show. And I personally am at Fashion Tech Guru on just about everything. For direct comments, give us a call at 646-979-8709. That's our voicemail line. Or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and all other episodes, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. Remain in force. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.
This is Mouth Media Network, audio for business.